Can we all just reach over and just touch somebody next to you? Just touch somebody. Yeah. All right, there's something special about a touch. I want to talk about a touch today. It's a significant part of, celebrated. I like to call it celebrating communion. And what was that? That's God's personal touch on man. Why did Jesus have to come? Because something about getting touched that we need. Amen? And so I'll just share a little bit. I'm the result of somebody in pursuit. My wife was in pursuit of me. I'll just put it like that. Some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. Okay. I was a very hard catch. I was one of these fish that didn't like any bait. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, yikes.
No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't easy though, right? I mean, whatever. Okay. I was a little bit aloof. And so this happened in Tulsa. We were living in Tulsa, and I'd gone to college, and I thought I was becoming a musician and all this kind of stuff. And she was traveling with Brother Hagin. I mean, she wasn't traveling with him yet, but she'd gone to Rhema. She's going to Rhema. And she spied me. She with her little eye. She said, "I spy with my little eye. I spy something I want." And so I was working the night shift at a dangerous convenience store in Tulsa. It was on the west side of Tulsa, downtown. We got robbed. I got punched in the face. I mean, it was this kind of place, you know. But anyway, that's where I was. And so she couldn't just enjoy me from afar. Aww. Something had to happen for things to move along. Right?
There's two sides to every story.
Okay, I'll let her tell her story when she didn't have the stage right at the moment. So she has a friend, Kim. Remember Kim came and shared her husband now got shot and stuff. Her friend Kim came and they visited my store in the middle of the night, and she sent her friend in to get dog food. I don't know what the strategy was exactly, but my birthday was coming up, and so she said, my friend would like to do your fingernails. Okay, so, man, you're finding out all kinds of stuff about me. I'm in the midst of explaining. So I'd gone to college to learn to play classical guitar, which you need your fingernails for. And I'd never had sculptured nails before, which is something else my wife was doing. She was doing sculptured nails. Acrylics. I don't know if guys maybe just don't have any clue what I'm talking about. That's fine. But what it is it's a reinforcement of the nail. And what happened is once I graduated from college, I'm doing like outside work and everything, and my nails are breaking. And so I find out you can actually put these things on your fingernails. I've got them on right now. It's like real thick, and you can work, and you can be a man. I know it doesn't sound like you're being a man, but what it liberated me to be a man and still have fingernails and play the guitar. So this is kind of what I was doing. And I just started going to this old lady that smoked. I mean, it was kind of a nasty experience, but she was putting these acrylic nails on for me, and my wife found out I was doing this, and she does them. And so she said, "I'll do your fingernails for your birthday." So here's me. I'm just going to call myself gnarly. I mean, whether I was or not, I was thinking I was anyway. So I get an appointment at a nail salon. And I go in, and you know, nail salons are usually abuzz with conversation. Women love to talk. And I step through the door, and all of a sudden there's silence. A man has entered the place. What is this? Anyway, my point is, there is a point. It went beyond admiration to a touch. And boy, did that ever work. Because what happened is now she gets to touch my hand. And I started figuring out how I could kind of let her know that I wasn't opposed myself. This was a wonderful potential between us. But nothing could go further until there was a touch made. Does this make sense? It was when that happened that something else is fixing to happen here, you know? And y'all, if you have a relationship with somebody, you'll have your own version of this story, right? It's like that time when you think, I like him a lot, but... unless you're not weird like me, but there's something about that initial touch especially, right? It's like, whoa, magic, electrocution going on and hormones or whatever else, and everything's just, something happens with that touch, doesn't it? And so much is connected to the magic. But I want to explore this, though, because there's also negative things that can happen in a touch. It's like me at that convenience store when the guy, he's doing a beer run, and I go to take the beer from him, and he just lets go of the beer and punches me in the... No, that was a touch, too. That wasn't quite the same thing. So much is associated with a touch. And so I just want to explore this a little bit today, because it's very much of a part of our relationship with God. He thought enough about us that he initiated not just a nice thought. Aren't you glad he didn't just love us? He touched us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He went beyond that and said, because something happens when we get touched. Amen. Yes. And there's so much connected with who we are that is associated with a touch. Amen. I'm just going to look at some of these because there's both sides of it every single time. Anytime there's a good thing, there's an opposite thing that can happen with that same thing. I'm just going to go through a list of them here real quick. Let me do this, okay? So there can be harm that comes. And we'll look at this a little bit. There can be harm that happens with it. You get sucker punched. But then there's good that happens. I have a wife for the rest of my life, you know. There can be care for. You can take care of somebody. Or you can actually destroy somebody, right? With a touch. You can administer. That means you're going to give something. You're going to provide for something. And then you can also, with your touch, you can receive something. So we can't just put touch in a box. There's a lot of other sides to it, right? You can stimulate and you can repulse. How many of you have been touched by somebody that's like, yeah? Sometimes how they smell might have something to do with that. It's like, don't touch me. My dog has that effect on my wife. It's like, she says, I don't want Tebow to come close to me, let alone touch me. You can provide for somebody, or you can steal from somebody. Right? You can reject, or you can partake. You can say, I'm going to take some of that. Or you can reject it, right? You can heal, or you can infect. You know, this has happened a lot with some of the communicable diseases that we have, right, going around all the time. A big thing that happened, you know, in 2020 was we can't be next to each other because if you touch somebody, they're going to get something from you, right? And in the midst of that, I'm thinking, well, maybe I have something I want to give to them. Maybe I want to heal them because there's healing in my touch. Where there's an infection, there can also be a healing. Amen? Okay, and then there's an ability to withhold. That means that for some reason, I'm not touching anybody. Right? Or you can have the opposite. I can't wait to touch, to impart, to do something, right? A lot of times, a withholding of touching happens. And again, it kind of goes back to 2020. We can't touch anybody. a hole up in your house, you know? And so something bigger than just being separated from people was taking place. It wasn't just protection. It was the withholding of touching. Because the touching is a very important part of good things that need to happen, right? So tell me who needs to touch their phone right now. Okay. So let's look here, because part of what's happening in a touch is a connection with somebody, a defining of a relationship in some way. And a lot of times there's an identification that happens. You know, when you go to shake hands at the end of a deal, there's been an agreement made, and now there's something else going on that somehow needs a handshake, needs a touch. Is that right? Well, let's look here in 2 Corinthians, because there's a side of this you do need to look at, because all the time, and a big part of a warning that we need to see is, as soon as we go out of these doors, and as soon as we go out into the atmosphere around us, we're exposed to touches, aren't we? And there is a danger. There is an infection that the world can have upon us, how we're touching. It's like I said with COVID. You know what? If I'm going to touch somebody, I need to make sure I'm administering. I'm not getting infected. Because how I approach this is going to be very important. If we go out into the world and the world touches us, we're going to see this. If we allow the world, actually for us to touch the world in a way that's not helping it, but partaking of it, it can be a damage to us. It can harm us. Look at, because what we're doing is we're actually identifying with it to some extent. Let's look at this, okay? Don't team up. I think the King James says, don't be unequally yoked. That means don't be connected with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? Now hang with me on this, because it's put a lot of associations between wickedness and things, right? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, and this is where I'm getting to, therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord, and don't what? Now, it was given a lot of associations between, if you're partaking of this, you're becoming it. Wow. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And we can minimize just touching something. It's not that big of a deal. And he's saying here, no, you're actually becoming it. You're partaking with it. You're identifying with it. Does that make sense? And then it gets to this part and it says how that's happening. You're touching it, right? Don't touch their filthy things. Now, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, I like this. So he says, if you're not touching those. Now, it's interesting because later on, Jesus said that we're supposed to actually go out into the world. We're supposed to touch them, but it's a different kind of touch. It's not the touch where we're receiving or partaking or identifying with. It's the one where we're making a difference in it. Amen? And I'm going to get to this, but there does need to be this warning that, man, we can't expect to be calling ourselves one with God and partaking of things, touching things in the world. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit right now can talk to our hearts and tell us what this is. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time preaching against specifics. But there needs to be a warning that things in the world, you just can't touch them. It's not a small thing to be observing things, to be enjoying things. I'll just mention a few things. Entertainment, things on social media, that sometimes you're just being entertained by it. You're touching it. It's not something Jesus would do, right? It's not something you say, here I am, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's okay for me to bring this into it. I'll tell you what, I have a mother-in-law that is, her house is spotless. Everything is white. And she never stops cleaning the whole place. Especially my dog. I would not bring it. It's not going in that front door. It's not going in that front door. I'm not going in that front door if I've been working out in the yard, if I'm all stinky and whatnot. Why? Because that's her place. It doesn't happen there. And he's saying, you know what? To touch this thing and then think that you can be a part of the temple of the Holy Spirit? This cannot happen. Because something's happening in our touch. Can you see that? Okay, let's keep going though, because let me read this next one. Evil cannot touch God's children, cannot affect them until touched by them. This is one thing I want us to be encouraged with. Now, I don't know, we might have some people here that don't know the Lord. You've never made Jesus your Lord. We'll give you an opportunity at the end here to say, Jesus, be my Lord. And when that happens, you're gonna go into a place where now your nature has been changed. And now evil cannot touch you unless you touch it. Let's look at this one. 1 John 5:18. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. So here's what I want us to be encouraged with. We just gave a warning that you don't go touching the world, right? Because of what it can do to you, how the harm, how the effect it can have upon you, right? But there needs to be also this security that the world cannot touch me. We talked about not touching it, but we don't need to be afraid of the world either. We should be able to go into the worst place in the world, not be afraid, and not be touched by it. Amen? It cannot touch us as children of the Holy Spirit until we touch it. Amen? It's good to know, isn't it? One more here. Matthew 14:36. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. So here's where I want to get into now, is that there's an inverse thing that happens in the presence of God where there was a touch made all the time. And I want to talk about Jesus a little bit, that he came to be the touch of heaven to people. Now, he's the Son of God. You would think he should be able to just sit back, drink tea, and just heal all of Jerusalem from a lounge chair. But you know what? He didn't do that. He went around healing all that were sick. But when you see the descriptions of how he did it, he was always touching. He's just touchy-feely kind of guy. No, it wasn't just affection. There was something about taking heaven in it. And, you know, this is really what's happening to you once you become a Christian. And we talked about it. The blood of Jesus has already cleansed us from all sin and from all sickness. Now, if something else is happening, it's the world, it's evil trying to impose itself on us now. And we have the right to stand up against it and say, no, you don't, right? And it's important. And what Jesus did, he said, I'm gonna impose life. But somehow there was a need for a touch. I want us to get encouraged in this. Because what the world wants us to do, even as Christians, sometimes is isolate ourselves. And we got a scripture that says, come out from among them and be separate. Right? There needs to be that, but there doesn't need to be any fear of what the world can do to us. And there needs to be an attitude like Jesus had that I'm going to take healing to the world. Amen? Yes. Jesus did this all the time. Remember what he did? A blind man needed to be healed. He didn't just say, be healed. What did he do? He actually spit in the mud and put some stuff on his, he's touching. And what kind of people were these? Most of the time, they were people that were really unacceptable to the religious folk, right? There were people that you wouldn't think that somebody would be wanting to touch at all. But there was something about his touch. All who touched him were healed. Now, this is interesting because there's a touch going both ways. Jesus would touch them, but then there was an attitude of an expectation of a reception. Remember my definitions of what the touch was? There can be a reception. There can be an administration, both. Yeah. There's both sides of this going on with God. There's a need for him to touch us, which he already has in Christ, but there's a need for us to reach out and receive it. There needs to be a touch on our end. We don't just wait and see what God's going to do. We say, I'm going there. I'm receiving that, right? It was all connected to this touch, wasn't it? What's really interesting too, let me see here. Get my verses lined up here. Let's look at here. I'm going to jump around a little bit from what I have on the thing back there. So let me just let you know. It says, they begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his garment. What's really interesting is they weren't even touching him. They were touching something that he had touched. Later on in Acts, they would actually pray over cloths because there was something about touching something that had encountered the glory of God, that dispelled the power of darkness. Amen? Let's go down to Luke 8:43. This is a wonderful passage, and there's another example of it in Matthew where there's a little bit different perspective on this. But in Luke here it says, I'm going to read the story. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched what? The fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Now, in Matthew, it says, she touched it because she said, if I can just touch. Yeah. Somehow, she got in her heart that if I can just, what is this touch thing? Why not just receive? There's something about the life of God that needs a touch. There's something about the life of God that needed Jesus to come to earth, to become our touch. Amen? Man, hang with me on this because this is very important. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch something that he's touched, if I can just be affected by somewhere that he's been. What happens in that is when that touch is actually made. Did she actually need to make that touch? Yes, she did. Her faith was associated with it, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And what did he say? Someone deliberately touched me. He's in a crowd. He said, no, somebody wasn't just brushing up against me. Right. They were touching me. Right. All right. Yeah. Makes you think, I'm sorry. It makes me think of the kids, you know, on the... In the bedroom, he touched me. No, you know, fighting over who touched who. In the car, is it in the car that it happens? Hey, they touched me. They got my space. They got. Jesus is saying this on the street. He said, somebody deliberately touched me. Who was it? And you know, he knew who it was, right? but he wanted to draw that out from her, right? And what was she doing? She's saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Isn't that amazing? When the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. go in peace. There's something associated with a touch. What is it? It's an action. Anticipation of reception. Yes. Amen? But it required that administration from Jesus. She wasn't just touching anybody. She was touching Jesus. Amen? Okay, let me go back to Mark 3:10 here. He had healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. This was a common thing. It wasn't just a crowd lined up in a line. They were pressing. They said, I have to touch. There's a key here, isn't there? Are we getting the key? Matthew 8:28-2. So remember, somebody that Jesus was not supposed to touch according to the law. If you touched one of these people, you became one of them. Right? Yeah. Lepers. Matthew 8:2. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He didn't say, if you touch me. He said, if you're willing. But what did willing mean to Jesus? I'm going to touch you because what I have is bigger than what you have. I'm going to touch you. My will is associated to the point where I'm going to bridge any kind of thing that would not be acceptable for me touching you. You're actually pretty ugly to my natural eye, but I'm going to touch you because my will is bigger to bring life to you than it is to keep me away from that. Said, I'm willing, he said, be healed. Jesus reached out and touched him. Amen? I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Isn't that cool? But what did it happen when Jesus touched? Right? So here's where I want to get to. What happened to us when we received Christ? There was a reception of not just his touch administering life to us, but we actually now, when we reached out and received that life from him, how many know that he's reaching out right now to touch the whole world? Who gets changed by that? The ones who touch him back, right? But what are they receiving? They're not just receiving a fix. And remember, that happened with the lepers. There were 10 lepers, right? And only one of them came back and got the best part of him. But there's something bigger than just a healing that he wants to impart to us. He wants to give life to us. Now, here's what I want to challenge us with in this. When he sees that he's given life to us, when he sees this touch, he sees not just somebody that likes him now and somebody that's on his side now. He sees somebody that's his partner now. Now, what did he say? He said, I have to leave so another comforter can come. What is it about the Holy Spirit? What is about this comforter? You know, if Jesus would have stayed on the earth, he could have only been one man on the earth. But when he went to heaven, he became everybody that receives him now, receives that same life, receives that same ability that whatever he touched, he healed, didn't he? Yes. Whatever he touched was affected by him more than it was affecting him. You know, a lot of people want to say, and we have commercials today, Jesus just loved everybody the way they were. No, he changed everybody from the way they were or gave them the opportunity. He touched them with life that would lift them. Is that right? And gave them the opportunity now to not just be fixed from whatever that sin and that darkness and that disease had inflicted upon them, but to now become him. How many know Jesus' request to the Father right before he went to the cross wasn't that we would just be healed, was it? or we would go to heaven. What was his request? Remember, John 17, that we would be one. Man, wrap your head around that. You know what I mean? Man, we come to God so much of the time just wanting to get, I'm just going to reach out and touch and get what I need. And he says, okay, when you touch me, there's going to be something coming back to you that's bigger than just that thing that you think you need. There's going to be an identity now. You're getting an identity with the one that when I touch you, it's eternal life that you're getting.
Yes.
And now, you're not just a receiver anymore, you're an imparter. How is the world going to be touched by Jesus? That by us just holding up and praying that there'll be a revival of some kind? Do you know how they're touched? By us. That same thing that Jesus did, he went about healing everybody. And you think about each one of those, that if he hadn't touched them, what would have happened? They wouldn't have been healed, right? Now, go with me here a little bit. Who are we not touching? And maybe because we don't have an understanding of it, maybe because we're not really there yet ourselves. But this is what God wants for us. If there's really power in our touch, there's a power in our touch anyway. Is this something that's going to be a God touch? And how? Man, I want to challenge us in this. This world needs people that are Jesus today. We're wondering why God's going to move somewhere and there's going to be a lot of healing somewhere. Well, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen through somebody. Amen? And how are they going to get that? They're going to get that from living in his presence, first of all, to where we're continually receiving from that. Amen? How are we able to administer a touch? We're always receiving a touch. We're always receiving that. Why do we come in and worship the way we do? We like the music. We like, you know, Maverick City. We like... You know, Bethel, I like Jesus. I wanna touch him today. How many have felt his touch today? How many have reached out and touched him? Yes. Amen? Yes. And the purpose in that isn't just to get a nice feeling and to go away and say, I think I like that. I don't know if I'm going back or not. No, it's not about that at all. It's about taking on the life of God so that you can administer the life of God. Yes. To somebody who needs it. Did you know that he said we would do the works greater than what he did? Who's going to do that? How is he? He said, we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? Well, let's see. Well, how did Jesus do it? He touched people. Huh. Touching has to become a part of a strategy. Amen. That means you got to get out of where you're used to doing things, and there needs to be some kind of plan. Some kind of, God, help me to touch some. You know what? I just want to encourage us with this. I've practiced this a little bit. You know, I've done a little bit of stuff, sales stuff, you know, where my boys do this big time now, but roofing. And, you know, I've run into people that are going through stuff. I remember I encountered somebody out I think it was beyond Lake Buchanan one time. Somebody had just taken their life in this house I was in. You know, somebody's son had just taken his life, and it's like, man, you can just sense this person needs a touch from God, you know? And I guarantee you, people, all you have to do is say, can I pray for you? Yes. And all you do is take their hand. Yes. And there's something about taking their hand. Amen?
Yes.
Because if you've been living in the presence of God, if you've been touching the hand of the master yourself, when you touch, it's not just your touch anymore.
Yes.
It's the life of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
There's opportunities all around us. I just want to, man, I'm preaching to myself right now. Yeah. This is who we've been called to be.
Yes.
Amen? And we don't have to wait for some move somewhere. We already have the life in us now.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And either we believe it and share it. What do you share? What you really have. Is that right? What do you withhold? Something that you're really not sure. Is that right? Man, we need a touch from him. Why? So that we cannot help but share it. Amen? There's somebody in our life we're going to encounter that's going to need us to, we don't have to get weird about it. We don't have to do, no, but we need to touch and we need to say, I have the life of God here. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet your need. Amen? Is this what we have in Christ? What's it going to take? It's going to take a touch, isn't it? It's going to take us getting out of, and I'll tell you what, the world just gives us so many reasons to not, to withhold. Is that right? One of the biggest things is social media. You can be friends with the world and never have to touch anybody. Is that right? I'll tell you, and even what happened with this whole social distancing thing is that even work got to be where everybody just stays home. Boy, it's convenient. It's really nice, isn't it? You don't have to drive. You don't ever have to touch anybody. You never have to have a conversation around the cooler. You never have to, you know? And somehow, Jesus has come to touch the world. And I'm so grateful he touched me. How many have been touched by Jesus? How was that touch made? I just want to say. It was through somebody, wasn't it? Yeah. It was somebody. Amen? Yes. And there's a side of the actual physical touch that will never be replaced by anything else. Right. Jesus demonstrated this. If we're going to be like Jesus, he said, well, I touched people. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. And however that needs to become who we are, again, we don't have to become some people are just gifted at this kind of stuff. Don't you just admire people that are gifted at stuff? I admire athletes that are just gifted. They just do things and it's just like, wow, how'd you do that? You know, it's like, but what I think is really cool about the Holy Spirit and about God working in us right now is who he's made me to be. Right. Nobody else gets to be.
That's right.
But I have to believe in who he's made me to be.
Yeah.
And not withhold it.
Right.
Amen? That's the big thing. I'm gonna have to have some inspiration. I'm gonna have to have some care. I'm gonna have to care about somebody else more than me. And this is what we get in the presence of God. This is what worship is about. Taking on his nature, taking on his passion, taking on his care. Amen? So that we can take on his touch. Praise God. Got one more for you here. Mark 16:17. Proactive touching. Boy, this sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? What'd you get today? Well, we were taught we had to proactively touch. Is this what you're getting? Yeah? Anybody? Want a nod or anything? We learned that we need to be proactively touching, right? These miraculous signs will accompany who? So you can invert that, right? These miraculous signs will not follow those that don't believe. Is that right?
Right.
So you could almost say, well, if there's no signs, maybe it's a sign. Right? But let's be encouraged. Can we do that? And sometimes you need to be able to recognize when God's actually doing something too and give him glory for it. Give him honor for it. Begin to magnify what he's doing. They will cast out demons in my name. How many are up for this today?
Yes.
Amen? And they will speak in new tongues. They will be able to handle snakes. Oh, man, I thought about this part. That means I have to touch a snake? No, what that is that the snakes of the world, if I encounter them, they cannot harm me. Is that right? That means it doesn't get to come this way. It's only going to go this way. Amen. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. That means the things that we could be afraid of naturally, we don't have to be afraid of them anymore. Amen. Because now we're on a mission. And the gates of hell will not be able to keep us back. Amen. They will be able to place their hands on who? The sick. There's something about touching. There's something about touching. And you know what? I just encourage us. We don't have to work up some kind of... We just do it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? He said, I give you the power. You just do it. Yeah. Man, I just want to get in the habit of just doing it. Somebody's in need of something? Hey, let me touch you. The Bible says if I touch you, watch out. Yep. Right? Yeah. That should be what our heart is. Yeah. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and what will happen? They'll be healed. Amen? Yes. You know what? This is who we are. This is what we've been given. This is the crux of Jesus coming, to touch us, but to ensure that somebody else gets touched through us. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Are you encouraged today? Amen. Have you been touched today? Hallelujah. What's that? How many would like to be touched today? We'd like to pray for you today. If anybody has any need in your life today, we'd like for you to come up here. We're going to touch you. And the life of God is going to be imparted to you. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's stand up. Let's do this. Just a touch. Amen? Let's put an expectancy right now. And as we do this, let's say this is something I'm becoming a partner in. I'm not just an observer of. I'm a partner in. Amen? Amen? I'm a participant in this. Amen? Praise God.